Peter Greenberg, I would imagine it's been a very busy week for you.
I'm afraid it has, ever since Wednesday night around 9 o'clock New York time, yeah.
Absolutely. What's the latest you know from the expertise you have within the travel industry about what's going on in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I want to preface all this, Lisa, by saying everything I'm telling you is preliminary. We need to let the NTSB do their work, but this is what we do know. And I've been covering these stories, as you know, for years. They're focusing now. They've got the black box from the helicopter, which is very important because now they can correlate it to connect the dots with the data they're getting from both the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder on the American Eagle plane. And once they have that, they can create a second-by-second timeline based on their radar tracks, audio tracks, and other conversations to find out exactly what was happening and, most importantly, when it was happening. And then once they do that, then we'll get to the how and the why.
Yeah. And there's just been so much finger pointing, Peter, and we're still trying to recover people from the water. And it's just been a bit heartbreaking for me.
And me too. Listen, the NTSB, they're my heroes. These guys do unbelievable work under very adversarial conditions. And the problem here is they need to do this the right way. And they are doing it the right way. They're painstakingly ruling everything out before they can ever rule any one thing in. That's the key. They have to do it that way. Otherwise, they're not going to do their job. And this is going to take some time.
And they're not influenced by politics in any way, right?
They refuse to be. They're truly an independent organization. They're also not a regulatory organization. When they come up with what they determine to be the probable cause of this crash, that's when they make what they would consider urgent safety recommendations to the regulatory agency, and that's the FAA. But until that happens, they're operating on their own. Influenced by nobody. They're taking a lead here over many other agencies. We're talking the Coast Guard, the police, all the district agencies, Virginia, Maryland, the Army Board of Inquiry on their helicopter, all reporting to the NTSB.
You know, when we witness something like this, and it's not like we witnessed it in real time, but we all now have seen the video, it shakes your sense of security, that and the fact that there was only one person working as an air traffic controller. Peter, in my mind, I envisioned an air traffic control tower with 8 or 10 people in it.
Well, we're talking not about an air traffic control center. We're talking about an air traffic controller in the tower. Two different people, two different organizations. But you're right. The FAA has been terribly understaffed in the air traffic control business for the last 4 decades. It goes back to 1981 when Ronald Reagan fired them all when they wanted to unionize. They were replaced by military air traffic controllers who did a very good job. The problem was the FAA did a terrible job of understanding that in about 15 years after that period, people would be retiring. They'd tread out. And they made no provision for hiring again and hiring proactively so they wouldn't have a lag and a gap. And they had it, and they still have it. We have 3 air traffic control centers right now that are operating below an 85% staff threshold. And what that means, Lisa, is that they're forcing air traffic controllers to work mandatory overtime, the one job on the planet that nobody should ever work overtime.
Absolutely. And then when the president talked about DEI and he made that an issue, a lot of media reports have been published, and it has shown that among this group of people, 78% are male, 22% are female, and they're overall predominantly white males in that position.
Listen, I would give the president the same advice that I give me before I come on your show. And you heard me preface it. It's preliminary. We need to let the NTSB do their work, keep politics out of it, don't jump to conclusions. And I guarantee you, these guys do such a great job, we will find out what happened.
And you're in town for the big show, right?
The big travel and adventure show that will be tomorrow and Sunday at the Stevens Convention Center out there in Rosemont. And I speak tomorrow at around 12:30 and Sunday at about 11:45. And when I'm done speaking, I'm happy to meet with everybody and answer all their questions as well.
Well, guess what? This crew has questions. Somebody said, can you ask Peter, what is the sweet spot for booking a vacation? How many days out?
Well, not counting days that we know are holidays, like July 4th or Labor Day or Easter, you know, some of those days, it's about 54 days out. That's when the airlines have programmed their algorithms to figure out load factors and projections. It's those algorithms that give them the projections to set demand or at least understand demand and then set prices. So about 54 days out is when you want to look.
And Peter, you were on John Williams' show. I know you're going to be on with Dave Plyer tonight. So you were talking on John Williams' show about using travel agents when most of us have gotten used to using those third-party vendors, Expedia, Kayak, those types of things. What's your recommendation on travel agents?
I'm a big fan. You know, everything's they went away. They're back bigger than ever. The problem with the OTAs, the online travel agents, is when you go online to make a reservation, and many people listening to you right now will agree with this because they've experienced it, they're going to see, oh, only three seats left or only two rooms left, and you get excited and nervous and you hit the keystroke and you buy it. Usually that's a lie. It's only three seats left in the allotment that online travel agent was given by the travel provider, the airline, the hotel, the cruise line. This is not helping you. You're not seeing all the inventory. You're not seeing all the availability. And that basically puts you at an immediate disadvantage.
Right. I've gone through that. And then if you need to make a change, usually you could have a conversation with the hotel and get something changed. But if you've booked through one of those websites, they're like, no, you have to call them. We can't manage that for you.
Yeah, they're out of the loop. And not only that, it's not just about the rates. It's about the routes. There are so many routes that are not published online by these OTAs because they don't have access to them. And yet, these are unbelievable. I talk about it all the time. In fact, I'll be talking about it tomorrow. They are secret flights because they're not necessarily displayed online, but they're legal. They're on airlines you know about, but they're going between destinations you would never expect these airlines to fly between.
And do travel agents get a fee? Who pays them? Are we paying them? Is there a percentage tacked on?
It depends on their relationship with the travel provider. But if a travel agent wants to charge me a $25 service fee to save me $600, hey, where do I write the check?
Yeah, absolutely. Suggest AirTags in travel these days? Have you experienced that helps?
I'm laughing because I've developed an emotional relationship with my AirTags. They tell me when they miss me, they worry about me, I worry about them. but here's the best thing about the AirTags. The ones that are done by Apple have now partnered with about 20 different airlines so that when they send you the information as to where your bag is, they're sending the same information to the airline. Because for so many months and years now that I've had the AirTags, I've been able to tell the airline where my lost bag was before the airline could even find it. Now the airline has no excuse because they're getting the same information simultaneously.
What kind of impact does what happened in Washington, D.C. have on the travel industry? You've lived through it in the past. What happens now when it comes to airlines, air traffic controllers, the way business is done?
Well, if you're talking about the process of travel, you'll see changes in Washington, Reagan very, very soon. They already announced tonight they're banning all low-level helicopter flights anywhere near the airport, which they should have been doing years ago. You may see a change in separation, meaning how quickly they're going to allow planes to land one after another, same thing on takeoffs. But in terms of the actual process of travel for us, other than the fact that the airlines may have to adjust their schedule to accommodate these new rules, it'll be okay.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be listening for you on Dave Plyer's show.
You got it, Lisa.
Thank you.